It's Tuesday. Welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the new show that is warning people about the AI apocalypse like the crazy old guy on the street corner with our cardboard sign. I'm Jason.
I'm Nas. And together... I don't even know if we're... Are we Wonder Twins? We're wearing band t-shirts.
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah.
Although my t-shirt's a old-ass band.
That's true.
This week we're going to touch on some possible future uses for all of these generative AI tools. In an article this last week by both GamerRant and Eurogamer. Basically, rumors are out there that both PlayStation and Xbox are starting to consider using different AI generation tools to help both speed up development on and reduce costs on their own first party titles. Some reports indicating that Xbox's 343 Studios is already integrating some generative tools into their workflow on the upcoming Halo installments. I think the shift is coming at a time when a lot of people, not just gamers, are really skeptical of the technology, especially with as fast as it's grown. I mean, we're looking at most of these generative tools, one of them, Midjourney, and then ChatGPT, which is really more of a chat tool, both showed up like 2022,
you know,
out of blue. Nobody really knew it was coming the way that it was.
I want to say that people have been using a version of this for a while. Like, I think it's only controversial in certain cases. I don't know. So for all of you guys who've been gaming for a while, you know, you play a game, right? It loads up the list of tools they use they got to get credit for, right? Have you heard of SpeedTree, Jason?
Yes, I have.
So, and most of you guys probably have. It's a tool that mixes AI with real modeling, and it lets you generate large amounts of vegetation very quickly. It's not just trees, obviously. And I think in certain cases, generative AI is okay to use with things like that, right? Like, I don't need to draw individual blades of grass, right? Like, I don't need to draw mountain ranges. Like, generate it and then let me re-sculpt the things that I don't like. And I think in cases like terrain or things of that nature, like, that's not really a big deal. Where I think it becomes controversial is like using AI for voice work, right? Or using AI to generate quests, or using AI to generate characters, right? Like, because then there's a real lack of imagination there.
Right.
And then that's where I think it becomes a lot more apparent, right? But when you start using it for like vehicle or creature design and things of that nature.
Right. But using it to speed up your animation in your render pipeline, for example. So you create, you know, like the character model, creature model, etc. And because it's a full 3D model in a 3D space, right? You can basically create your own training data on individual characters that you've created, and then using that generative AI to basically help produce your scenes and animation poses, transitions, etc. 100%. I can see where that would be totally useful. Or even using it in game, CD Projekt Red was, you know, kind of trying to do with Cyberpunk, and it you ended up just seeing the same NPCs over and over again, because I think all of that stuff was still too new. But using it to generate your NPC character models in and out of frame, you know, live, absolutely, I can see where it's absolutely useful. But I'm with you. Creating characters whole hog using AI is not the way to go.
And we've used it not in the same way, but we've used similar applications with other things. So you can think of, like, let's go way, way back, right? Minecraft. Original Minecraft was generating from a seed and would create a world that was randomized within a list of set parameters. Same thing with RimWorld, another one that's done a lot of that stuff. 7 Days to Die has the random gen maps that randomizes points of interest and stuff from preset models, essentially, right? It just places things differently, so it's a different experience. And so, like, in certain cases, I know that's not strictly the same generative AI that we're talking about, but using it to solve problems like that, I think, is smart use AI, especially when you need to generate something real time, like you're talking about, like NPCs. Let's just say it's a crowd that's mostly there to just add a certain dimension to the game, right? Let's just take no comment about the franchise. This kind of went downhill, but Assassin's Creed, for instance, right? Game known for populating a city street. They've never quite had a really populated town. Let's say they took one of those towns and they added thousands of people all kind of doing different things that they would do, right? They set a rule set and then let AI generate that around you to give you an environment to blend into. So in that instance, it's almost, you know, they look like people, but it's essentially just generating places for your character to hide throughout a crowd, right? So, like, stuff like that I think is fine. It's just when it turns into slop, right? We all know that AI, for whatever reason, can't do words. Don't know why, but generative AI does crazy things to words. In the application of photography, I was doing some edits the other day. I needed to edit a hand that was kind of in front of a spot on a picture. And the band had a logo in the background, and it kept changing the letter to the letter I did not want it to be when I removed the hand. So I was like, screw it, I'm just going to use a different picture. But where I use generative AI is when I'm removing things. I remove a lot of water bottles from pictures. But for things like that, like, I think that's fine. But yeah, any kind of scripting, any kind of, like, scripting in the case of, like, dialogue or characters or quests or any kind of, like, real world, things that really directly involve the player, right? Like, enemy design, creature design, stuff like that. Like, I don't think that needs to be generative AI, because I think that's weird.
I tend to agree with you, and it's definitely a slippery slope. Also, not mentioned yet is confirmation that one of PlayStation's development houses, Dark Outlaw Games, is actively trying to recruit a developer that has experience using these generative AI tools.
No, hopefully it's not Sora.
huh?
Hopefully it's not Sora. Sora creates some really crazy stuff, but it does look really good.
Sora is just soars early. I mean, that is one thing that AI is really not great with yet, right? And that is actually video creation and video stitching. Because it's not very great. For example, one of the things that can really tell you that a video, like ad, for example, is an AI scam. Generally, when people talk, their teeth aren't visible the entire time, right? The majority of people, their teeth, their jaws move up and down with their lips. AI video generators are still really horrible at that, and you will see the edges of the teeth the entire time somebody's talking. Two, tracking objects in the background. For example, you might have, you know, somebody walking through the frame behind the person who's talking, and then they get behind the person and just disappear. They don't walk through the other side of the frame. You know, things like that. Things that aren't really going to be great for video game development and look extremely jank. I think what they're focusing on is using the generative image generators, model generators to assist in the actual animation and scene formation for cutscenes. Right. I don't think they're going to be trying to straight up generate AI video. Now, that said, they could totally prove to be cheap asses and prove me wrong and release some really jank shit. But I seriously doubt that is something that developers are going to be really shooting for. I mean, most of them are artists. The problem is that with sales being the way that they are, and with costs shooting up the way that they have been the last few years, they're artists that don't have the size of teams that they used to. So any tools that help them reduce their workflows are probably, whether as a cost-saving measure or as a time-saving measure, are probably, in some cases, I'm not going to say all, but in some cases, probably welcomed.
I think a big reason for this is the overinflated budgets of a lot of AAA games. There's not a reason for a game to cost $200 million or $600 million to create. To get the return on investment right, like, you have to sell a ridiculous amount of copies in order to even just break even at that point. So, you know, that's the whole reason. Game prices, I think it's an after effect of player response to $80 games, right?
Yep.
Because they're trying to find ways to cut costs. They don't have to have that budget to create that said $80 game. And I think it's the wrong response. I think the right response is just understanding and not letting scope creep drive your development. We live in an age where all these games want to do everything, and I use Assassin's Creed as a good example because you can do everything in that game. There's a lot of activities that are really mid that are meant to drive engagement for their subscription service. So you do a lot of different things, so there's a whole lot of different systems in that game to do a lot of really, for lack of a better word, mid activities to keep you playing the game. And that costs a lot to get different teams to work on all of those different things and to get that many people hired on to do that. And people cost money to work on that many systems. Make good games that are more focused and you won't have this issue.
That's that, guys. Let us know what you think about the use of AI in future video games. And with that, find full episodes of the Tiltcast podcast at tiltcast.com, as well as these shorts and audio, these news stories in audio form. Search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe and come back on Thursday, where we'll actually be discussing the pricing on games and why sales are down.
See y'all later.